Okay, good morning. Okay, so we are in Parashat Behar. וידבר השם אל משה בהר סיני לאמור, דבר אל בני ישראל ואמרת להם, כי תבואו אל הארץ אשר אני נותן לכם, ושבתה הארץ שבת לאשר. God is telling to Moses, when you talk to Am Israel, you tell them, when you come to Eretz Israel, what are you going to do? שמיטה, שבת לאשר. I don't know, it's just a little strange. Well, what do you mean? You didn't work a minute. Shavta aret Shabbat, and you're doing Shvita already? A strike? No work? Nothing? But then the Torah explains to you, no, you didn't understand. Shesh anin tizra sadecha, v'shesh anin zmoka amenecha, v'asavta et vuata, u'bashana ashvi'it, Shabbat Shabbaton yel aret. No, you're not coming and doing nothing. No, first of all, you're going to work for 6 years, and then at the 7th year, you stop working. Shmita. So if this is the case, so the first pasuk is, we don't need it at all. Because you can also say, Vayaber Hashem el Moshe bar Sinai le'emor, Shesh shanim tizra sadecha, ve'beshabbat, and then the 7 years. Why do we need the pasuk? Va'amarta lehem ki tavo'u el ha'ar shem niyotan lachem v'shavta aret shabbat la'ashem. It's written twice. And in a very strange way, as we said. So what's going on here? What's the reason? What's the more important thing is the resting deal. Sorry? The thing is, it doesn't matter if it's past tense or whatever it is. The Torah, when the Torah is using words, every word's got a meaning. Every tag's got a meaning. So here you have a whole thing that you are going to say it again. So why do you say it now? So what did you say?
The whole purpose that Shabbat is the main day of the week is Shabbat. The main year is the 7th year. That's the whole purpose.
So what is the reason you come to Eretz Israel? To work? To have parnosa? To enjoy life? To have nice clothes? To go to restaurants?
All the above,
yes, very right. But the Torah is telling you exactly what is the purpose of everything. Ki tavo el haaretz v'shavta haaretz shabbat la'ashem. The reason we hear is not the 6 years that we work. The 6 years are the means to get to the 7th year. The important part is not the 6 years, it's the 7th year. Why? Because that's why we're here. You know, if God wanted us to enjoy life and do whatever we want to for no purpose, impossible. Now, if God had wanted us to cease and do nothing, just worship Him and do Avodat Hashem, which like praying and learning Torah, so why do we need to be here? We can stay up above. The neshama is going to sit and learn anyway. Up there. So why do we need to come to this world? But that's exactly the point. The idea is that the purpose is Shabbat Lashem. But to get to Shabbat Lashem, you have to go through the 6 years of working. There are some people that think that if you are a spiritual guy, you don't need anything else. In other words, if you are close to God, if you love everybody, you don't need to do the mitzvahs. Because all the purpose of the mitzvahs is to get closer to God. So if you're already close to God, maybe we don't need the mitzvahs. By the way, there are a certain group of Kabbalah that fits the way he approaches the idea. And that's the reason when you look at the people that he is teaching, I think the majority of them haven't got even a kippah on the head. And the others are not exactly looking very ultra-orthodox. And every time that he gets to a point that he has to explain how the Zohar HaKadosh writes about Olam HaMaaseh and doing mitzvahs, he explained that it's all a spiritual idea. Yes, there is a spiritual idea behind everything. But in order to get to the spiritual world, you have to go through the materialistic world. You have to go to Olam HaZeh, which is guf, not neshama. It's a combination. That's what you're doing. In other words, you cannot get closer to God if you don't do the mitzvahs. That's by the way they say, you have taryag mitzvot, ramach evarim shasa gidim, against the mitzvahs, mitzvot aseh, and you get mitzvot shelot aseh. In other words, every mitzvah you do, you are protecting one of your organs, one of your parts of the body, and if you want to go it, elevate it, you're connected, you connect yourself in another point to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The same way as we explained in Sfirat HaOmer, that you build yourself, and there are a lot of stages, and this is also the same idea. The same thing is Shabbos, the normal Shabbos that we have. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, if one doesn't keep Shabbos, he's got no connection to Olam Haba. Why? Because Shabbat, ze me'en Olam Haba. Shabbos is our connection to Olam Haba. So how do we get to Olam Haba? Through the Shabbos here. But what is the Shabbos? It says Shabbat Vayinafash. Says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Shabbat gives the power to the week that comes to exist. In other words, the whole world is built on Shabbos. If there's going to occur that one, nobody once will keep Shabbos, the world will collapse, will be destroyed. So you... Exactly, that's the Tikkun HaSofi. So in other words, everything is built on Shabbos. But in order to get to Shabbos, this is very interesting. Sheshet yamim ta'aseh melachtecha. You have to work. If somebody thinks that he can get to Shabbos without working, if somebody thinks he can get parnoso, physical and spiritual, without doing anything, he's mistaken. We can look through the Torah, through the Gemara, we see all our Greek sages, they were working. They say, Yohanan HaSandlar, the other one was there. Everybody did something. In other words, you need to do ishtadlut for your parnasa. Not that the ishtadlut is what brings you to parnasa, but you have to do something. V'ishlach lecha bracha bechol ma'aseh yadecha. It's like you cannot go to God and ask him for to win the lottery, and you didn't buy even the ticket.
You've got to meet him halfway.
Derech HaEmtza. In other words, by the way, everybody's got a different halfway. It depends in the way you believe and the way you do. So, now we understand that the Torah is telling us, you come to Eretz Yisrael, if you think that the purpose is like to have holidays, eat good meat, and do all the beautiful things of the body, all run after all the desires, that's not the purpose. Yes, you have to use this world and also enjoy it, no problem. Have everything. But the purpose is Shabbat. Shabbat LaHashem. That's why the Torah is telling, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, and we are very privileged to live here in Eretz Yisrael, and to understand the quality of the mitzvahs that we do here. The Chatam Sofer said that somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael is the only one who keeps the mitzvah properly. Because you have two things in our mitzvah. You have Metzuveh Ve'oseh, God ordered me to do it, so I'm doing it. But they have also the spiritual part, the inner side of the mitzvah. What is the purpose of the mitzvah? Because you have to understand, if somebody thinks for a minute that God gave us mitzvahs with no reason, he doesn't understand what he's talking about. Yes, sometimes we don't understand the reason. And we call those things that we really don't understand chukim. But you have to understand that even the chukim were given to us from a certain reason that God knows what is in it. But we don't know. So we keep the mitzvahs. But, of course there is a reason. In other words, whatever we have to do, there is a reason for it. And this is why we are in this world, in order to keep the mitzvahs and to do things in the proper way. And yes, you can enjoy life, you can have all the good of the world, but when you have it, you also must not forget, ki amuch achicha, when your brother hasn't got money and is poor, what do you have to do? You have to help him. You have to help him. You have to loan him money. And if he hasn't got the money to give back, lo tiye lo kenoshe. Unbelievable. You should not be like somebody, you know, you gave a right creditor and says, lo tiye lo kenoshe. One of the explanations in the Gemara is, you're not even allowed to pass the shop that, or the place or the home of the guy in order to remind him that he has to pay. Because it makes him feel bad. And what I talked about it this morning. My father, years ago, he needed a loan for the business. So he went to his cousin. He had a very, very rich cousin. He had property all over the world. You know. So he gave him the loan. But every day he was going near the shop. Hi. My father wants to say, what's going on here? He went to his friend, asked for a loan, got the loan, and the next morning when he came back, here, take your money, moichel toivus, toda rabba, leave me alone. And this is a cousin. But this is the thing what the Torah is saying, lo tiye lo kenoshe. When you give a loan to somebody, don't stand on him. And even if the time is already, he had to pay the money, it's due time, still, lo tiye lo kenoshe. Unbelievable. You know, to this is connected also that I am God that took you out of Egypt and I gave you Eretz Yisrael. What's the connection? The connection is that we are not like the other nations. All the other nations, they haven't got a mitzvah or a law that they have to give tzedakah. That the rich have to give to the poor. They have laws, general laws from the government to help the poor, to help the needy, but there is no law that the rich guy has to give the poor guy who needs a loan. The Torah tells you, it's not if you want, you have to. Im kesef talved, you have to understand, im is not if, maybe. Or Rahayim HaKadosh explain, if you see that you have plenty, it means that God gave you to help others. You are the messenger. And from this reason also, you shouldn't act to the guy that you give a loan, like look at him from up there to there. Ah, you are a poor guy. Here, take. I'm helping you. No. You should give it to him as an equal. I know it's very hard to understand, very hard to do it this way, but that's what the Torah is telling us. Lo tiye lo kenoshe, that's the meaning. And im kesef talve et ami, which is written, or Chaim HaKadosh says, it's not if, it's if you see that God gave you more than what you need. What is more than what you need? I'm not going to get this argument, but everybody knows that sometimes he can help others, so he has to help. It's not voluntarily, I'm going to help if I want. The Torah tells you have to help your brother. And you know, you have to look at it the same way as a father helps his son. As a brother helps his other brother. Not as somebody who's got the money and give it to a poor guy in the street. That's not the way to do it. You want to do it properly? That's the way you do it. Like a father gives to his son, with love. No other nation does this. That's why to this is connected. Let's see if I find it here. Yeah. וכי עמוך אחיך, ומתי ידו עמך, ואיך הזקת בו, פסוק למד ה' פרק כ' ה'. 35. וכי עמוך אחיך, ומתי ידו עמך, ואיך הזקת בו. You should hold him, you should help him. גר ותושב, also not only the one who is, but also a גר and תושב, you also have to help them. וחי עמך. Chai imach, everything is written imach. Imach is with you, not like he is at a different level. He is with you, the same as you. Al tikach mimenu neshech v'tarbit, you're not allowed to take interest. V'yareta me'elokecha v'chai achicha imach. Et kaspecha lo titen lo b'neshech u'b'marbit lo ten lochlecha. Ani Hashem elokechem asher hoceti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, latet lachem et eretz zan liot lachem l'elokim. So, in the beginning, we don't understand what is the connection between God giving us the land and taking us out of Egypt. Because that's exactly the reason He took us out of Egypt and gave us the land. As we said, we are here, Shabbat LaHashem. We are here for God. And if we can help our fellow man, we have to help. It's not maybe, I have to help. That's what the Torah is telling you. So we understood that the idea of living here in Eretz Yisrael is to keep the Torah. By the way, we say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat. Not like I told you, the Rashar here explains a very beautiful explanation. He says that the Shabbos is like the wail of Miriam in the desert that was for Am Yisrael. It was going with them the whole way and was giving them water, which is life. And this is exactly the Shabbos for us. It's going with us all the way, and it's the water, it's the life for Am Yisrael. And that's the connection of us with the Olam Haba. So, when we talking about Shemitah here, you know, today it's very hard to understand it, because we are people that work here, work there, we go to the supermarket to buy the fruits and the vegetables, but in the old times, if you wanted the vegetables, if you wanted the wheat, if you wanted bread, you had to work for it in the field. So then the Torah is telling you, you know, 6 years, you work, then a whole year, you do nothing. Who is going to provide? And also, Yovel, 2 years. 2 years? By the way, if we're looking at it from the agriculture point of view, it is well known that if you work the land, yeah, every 2 years or 3 years you have to give the land free, or you change what you grow on it. And here the Torah is telling you, not only that you're working 6 years, and what's going to happen in the 6 years? You're going to get three times. For 3 years is going to be enough, which is a miracle. But that's Eretz Yisrael. When the idea in the mind is, I'm worshipping God, I'm going with God, whatever God is telling me I'm doing, and I know that's the best for me, that's the way it works. We say in Shema Yisrael every day, if we listen to God, we are going to be prosperous, we're going to get everything. Of course, the question, do we get reward or not? I think we talked about it, it's not a reward. It's Tnei Avodah, it's working condition. And in other words, God is giving you all the right tools to do the good work. Yes.
Why the farmers? What's about the shopkeepers? Why do the farmers have to take the yield? There are other people.
That's what I explained. It's not literally speaking. It looks like there is a, how do you say, discrimination. Right? Like those who work in the field, they are not allowed to do anything, and all the others go on with life. But we have to understand the idea behind it. The idea behind it is, ki amuch achicha. You see, the same parasha, you have all those things. When your fellow man, your brother, he keeps Shemitah, who is going to provide him through the year? You. You're going to help him, that he can sit and learn. Because this guy is working 6 years in the field. He's got no time for nothing. So now he's got a whole year that he can sit and learn and do what you do all the years around. But he cannot do it because he's working very hard in the field. In other words, there is, if we look at it, as we look at Am Yisrael as one, the whole picture is clear. If we look at each one of us as an individual, yes, we have a problem. But that's exactly the idea of Am Yisrael. Ki amuch achicha. No, sometimes we don't understand what the Torah is telling us, but also when we go back, we have to understand the idea behind it. It's the same way we have Ben Sorer Umore. Ben Sorer Umore, the Gemara says, doesn't exist. There is one opinion that it was and it happened, and this whole story with the Yudab and Beteira, I think, with those, but again, most of the sages say that you learn it in order for learning. So of course everybody is asking, well, I haven't got enough things to learn that I need. This parasha, I need it. I can learn other things that are, let's say, logical, and that I have to do them, to practice them. Why should I learn something that's not going to happen or didn't happen? Because that's exactly the idea, because it's not did or didn't. It's what is behind it. Ben Sorer Umore is a whole lesson to us how to educate our kids and how to get to the right level and what to do with our kids in order to understand and realize that we learn the parsha of Ben Sorer Umore. What is the idea behind the behavior, and there is this habit and nature. I don't know if you talked about it in the past. Habit is something that is very hard to change. Much harder, by the way, than nature. Look around you and think on yourself, and you see nature, I can control it, I can try and do the best out of it, especially when we know that everything that God gave us in nature is good. So even if I'm somebody who is stingy, angry, whatever, I can use those tools in a good way. But if I get myself to certain habits, it's so hard to change.
Like smoking.
Whatever it is, habit is very, very hard.
Solanta says, easier to ruin the whole Shas than just to change one bad habit.
We say, Ergel ofech leteva. That's what we say. But it's much worse. Think about it. If you are you have a certain habit, if somebody wants you to change it, wow, Kriyat Yamsuf, doesn't work. Very hard. So this is exactly Ben Sorer Umore. What is the idea of killing this kid that didn't do anything wrong yet? The only thing he did, he ate too much. Whatever. Maybe took money from his father, but that's what he did. No, the Torah is telling you, if we are killing him now, because at the end of the way, he's going to stand in the street, and he's going to rob people, and kill people, and who know what, so, mutav sheyamut zakai, velo yamut chaya, better off he will be not guilty, than it's going to be guilty, and he's going to lose Olam Haba. And the most important thing is Olam Haba. So we kill him now, so he's got Olam Haba. Wow, what a nice thing. But Ishmael, if you remember, what was the story there? The angel came to God and says, you're saving this guy? He's going to kill your sons in the first. So what is God telling them? What is he now? A tzaddik? I'm saving him. Well, efa ve'efa? What is this? Here, you're killing him because what's going to happen in the future. And here, you don't care about the future and you're saving because what's happening in the... Now, what's the difference? The difference is that Ishmael, as a nature, was evil. Nature. And by the way, we all know what happened with Ishmael at the end of the day. He did tshuva. Which proves to us that you can change your nature. What is written about Ishmael? Pere Adam. Not Adam Pere. Pere Adam. He's not even a human being. But this was his nature. So can you change nature? Or can you use nature in a good way? Of course. If you remember, Shmuel HaNavi came to crown David HaMelech. When he sees David HaMelech coming in, he says, whoa, he's sitting. He sees this tall guy, the brother, the big brother, the tall guy, nice. Whoa, he wants to crown him. God said, no, that's not my Mashiach. That's not my king. And when David HaMelech, he sits. He sees this small guy, red hair like Esav. Like Esav. Ber Adam. So what is God telling him? Kum! Get up! That's my king! Go and crown him! And then he tells him something very interesting, which is an insult from one side, but from the other side, a big lesson for us. He says, Shmuel was called Shmuel Aroe. He had a power to see. He looked at people in their eyes and he knew what they are. He had the power, this power. So God told him, Adam, you see, but what you see is not what I see. You are not at my level. So you look at David and you think, wow, a villain. But I know exactly what David is. Now what is the difference? Both of them were born in the same luck, in the same mazal ma'adim. In other words, both of them had the same teva, the same nature. What Esav did? Evil. What did David HaMelech do with his nature? Good. He was a king. He ruled. Wherever he had to fight, he fought. And he won. But he did everything by the orders of the Sanhedrin. He did everything by the orders of God. And that's the proof that nature can be used in the best way. You can change. But from the other side, habit? This is Ben Sorer Umore. So in other words, it's not if it happened or didn't happen. It's what we learn from it. And what we learn from it is habit, on the other side, nature. Yes, so.
In Shmuel, Bashir Hushan, and Rashi says it's the way he is right now, not the future. It's another way to interpret it. When Aaron brought the Maratim up to God, he called it Shem. When did Shmuel do Tshuva? At the Maratim up to God, at his father's funeral. That's what he did shoot, and then it's so going further. So, it's going to be then, so, not the way he is now.
So if we connect both things together, we have this. That's exactly very nice. That's the same idea. Very good. Why not? So what? It's very good. It's very good. That's the idea. And this is exactly the point. So, ben sore o more, that's it. So also when we learn about Shemitah, it's not, oh, that I'm working in the field or not working in the field. Yes, that is this aspect, but that's not what is important. The important thing is the idea behind it, that a guy for a whole year doesn't work. This is amazing. They called, you know, Shomrei Shemitah called Giborei Koach Osei Dvaro. They are heroes. Yes.
6 years a man is working. His field is mine. All the crops are mine. Once in 7 years, he has to say, what happens if there's growth of their crops in the 7 years? Who does it belong to? It's Hefker.
Yes.
That's the lesson he has to learn. You think it's his own yours. Once in 7 years, you have to understand it's not yours.
That's, by the way, why it's written here, Vayedaber, Daber Ebnei Yisrael, Ve'amarta. Daber is also a hard thing. And Amarta is a good thing. So he said, Ve'amarta ki tavo la'aretz she'avta aretz shevita. It means that everybody can eat whatever he wants to. Everything is hefka. And the rich and the poor are equal. In other words, there is 1 year where everybody is equal, and that's not Shemitah. And if, as I said, yes, if we want to translate it literally, logically, and the pshat as it's written, we have a problem. If somebody learns the Torah only on the surface, he didn't learn anything. Because the Torah is not a story. The Torah is life. It's telling us what to do and what not to do. And when we understand this, we understand the whole idea behind a lot of things. For example, people sometimes think they know everything. You know, my friend Phil told me a few years ago a very interesting story. It was this guy, he was where the train, how do you call it, where the crossroads, the train stops? Ma'avar Rakevet, how do you call it? Machson, there is a Machson. Yeah, a rail, but and there is also a barrier. And this barrier, today you don't see them so much, but you still have them. There was a guy that was, the minute the train was coming, he was telling people to stop. Now, at night, it was very dangerous. So he had a light, he had a lamp with a light, and he used to, the minute the train was coming, he was doing like this to the cars that come, and they would stop. One day, there happened this, a disaster. This guy was standing there, and a car came, and he went out and turned the lamp, and the car didn't stop, and the train crushed the car, and the guy inside died. And of course, they called him to trial. He was blamed in negligent and killing somebody by negligent, whatever it is. He was very worried about it, because really, this is not an easy stuff. And he came to the trial, and a friend was waiting outside to see what's going to happen. And he was, how do you say, Zakai? He was
innocent.
He was innocent, so he was acquitted, and he left. So the guy, friends, knew what happened, what you said. They asked me all the questions and thing. And then they asked me, said, so what was exactly the point? Said, they asked me, what did they do when it happened? So I told them, I went out, took the lamp, and I just waved at it, but it didn't stop. So that's it. He says, no, yes, you should be very happy. He says, no, I'm very happy, you know, but I was very lucky. They didn't ask me if the lamp was with light. So sometimes we wave with things. We think we have the light, but we haven't got the light. It's only a lamp, empty with nothing. And this is something we have to understand and realize. Sometimes you have somebody who looks like a rabbi, acts like a rabbi, but haven't got the light. And that's, we have to understand and realize, who do we listen to? Who is the guy? You know, I never forget that once I went in Bet Knesset Gadol in Petah Tikva, and Mincha, and there was this two guys, the Mitzvah was talking, they were talking. One was dressed like, with a frock, like a Rosh Yeshiva, and the other one like a Mizrochnik. And they're talking like they're very good friends, and then one of the, you know, I couldn't not listening, it was near me, says, why do you dress like this? No, what? You did tshuva? Well, what happened to you? He says, no, it's the job. And I have this job, I have to do this. So, and I was thinking to myself, you know, you look at the guy, you think, and that's exactly the point. We don't judge for what we see. We have to understand what we see. What is the inside of the story? אלא מה שיש בו. Exactly. Sorry? Yeah, yeah. It's very important. What did Jacob ask when he went away? אוכל לאכול, בגד ללבוש. Clothes are very important in the tradition. The Kohen Gadol, look at the description of what he has to wear exactly. And it's, by the way, also a rabbi has to look. If a Talmid Chacham goes in the street and he's got dirt, his shirt is with a spot, chayav mita. It is important, but the point is, you have to justify the clothes. From one side, if you are a rabbi, you have to look as a rabbi. It's not right to hide yourself and wear, let's say, a hippie clothes, because you're a rabbi. It's not suitable. It's not nice. It's abusing what you are. From the other side, if you are not a rabbi, don't wear clothes of a rabbi, or don't wear clothes of an officer if you're nothing. You know, I used to be in the army police in the military, and once we caught somebody who was going around in Lishkat Gius with officer ranks and things, and he was just a nobody. And he was ordering the young people around. And so somebody called us, this strange officer is there, and gives all those strange orders to those Tironim. And what's going on? So we got him, asked him, to that Katzin, give me the officer. He's got no to that Katzin. To that Hoger, it's nothing, it's got no rank. And from the other side, by the way, we're talking about being judged according to your clothes or according to your job. If we were caught with one button open, we could have sit in jail. You know, people were angry about it. So what did we do? He says, you are an officer. You have to be an example. You have to look better than others. And that's the way it is. When you go in front of the king, there is a long argument in the halacha how you should come to shul, because especially here in Eretz Israel, when you go to the kibbutzim, it's very hot in the summer, and today everywhere there is air condition, but at the old times there was not air condition. You was there, and to come with long clothes to in the middle of nowhere where the heat is unbelievable, so they used to work short trousers, short thing. There was all argument if you're allowed or not allowed. So the result of all those discussion was that if you would come the same way to meet a big, like a king or a minister or the prime minister, and you would come in the same clothes, you can wear them. If not, you should change. You have to have cover to the king. Melech Malchei HaMelachim. By the way, that's the reason that those who learn in yeshivas, that Talmidei, the Haredim, they have to wear on the tefillah also the jacket. Because this is the way you wear, this is the way you stand in front of God. But we don't have to do it. It depends how would you approach the king. Yes. They have sleeves. They have special sleeves. Yes. They have special sleeves to put on the... Yes, that they... So I'm a yekin. I must say I'm a yekin. So people are, I'm on Shabbos. I wear a jacket or a suit with a tie. That's the way. That's the kavod Shabbos. Sometimes I must say, you know, when it's very hot in the day, I don't wear the jacket. But at the evening, whatever it is, I wear a jacket. Well, some people, you look at shul, you see, I'm sometimes the only one who's got a suit on. So what? Everybody, you see, you honor Shabbos. That's the idea behind it. Yes, of course, yeah, yeah. And everything has to, exactly. If the norm is talking about short... If we're talking about the way you dress, I don't know if I told it to you, there was one deal that was being done between a kibbutz here and a firm in Japan. And they made a meeting in the airport that they called, take him from there to the office to have the meeting. And this guy was from the kibbutz. He came, you know, with the jeans, with the sandals, and a t-shirt. And he came out there, he thought he saw a sign that with his name there, but when he looked again, it wasn't there. So after an hour go walking around and looking for the guy that's supposed to be there, he found the kibbutz in Israel. And so he says, I don't know. So I'm here for an hour. Nobody is here to see me. He says, we just got a telephone from Tokyo telling us that they came. They saw nobody representable in the airport. They saw somebody with the jeans, with the thing, and this is not, couldn't be a businessman that comes for an important meeting. So we just went there. And he insulted them. And you see, that's exactly the point. You know, when you have a job, when you have a certain obligation, you have to look accordingly. If you go to a very important meeting, you check before, how should you be dressed? When you go to the Queen of England, you get a whole list. What you should wear, how you should approach her, what should you do? So, Melech Malchei Amlachim, Al Achat Kama V'Chama.
After World War II, DP camps were run by American military. Eliezer Silver wanted to come to see what he could do in the DP camps. They wouldn't let him in. So what did he do? He borrowed an American uniform jacket, and he was very slight build. And the jacket was about five sizes too big. This is a famous picture of Eliezer Silver wearing this jacket that was hanging over him like a carpet.
Somebody came up to me and showed me that he wasn't in the room. He had a beard.
Short trousers,
sandals, no socks. I said, sorry.
Kvod Knesset. Yeah. Okay, all the best. Bakasha.